Dr. Block is an associate professor at Drexel, and she's a primary appointment in nursing and a secondary appointment in public health. It really isn't. Dr. Block comes to us with also practical experience. She's been a nurse practitioner since 1981. So she's cared for women in city clinics and HMOs, private practice, and she right now is working in Philadelphia at a federally funded prenatal care clinic. Am I right? Okay, thanks. Well, we're very delighted to have her today, and she's going to talk about safe or unsafe motherhood, the invisibility of foreign-born black mothers in Philadelphia. So let's welcome Dr. Block.
I have to first thank you for such a lovely, warm welcome, and thank you for being here. So the key question that drives this is, is motherhood safe for or unsafe for foreign-born black mothers in Philadelphia and throughout the United States? And this study, I'm a health disparities researcher looking at preterm birth. And instead of looking at black-white differences, because I know it seems from clinical practice there's a large population, of foreign-born, what's the difference between the foreign-born and the U.S.-born black? Like the, is there an epidemiology paradox? I thank my collaborators, and I thank the National Institutes of Health, NINR, for funding this study. This is just one piece of it. I have no relationships to disclose, but this time and day, I do have a personal ethical discomfort disclosure that I need to frame this research in, because when I started this in the mid-2000s, the dialogue around the country, the political, cultural, economic context was very different. In 2000, Healthy People 2010 had two national goals. One was to eliminate racial and ethnic health disparities. And we haven't been successful, I hope we will, but in the current time, after the economic downturn, I think that this data and focusing on two very vulnerable groups, a marginalized minority group of black women and immigrants, it gives me great concern what data may harm them and not make them safer. So I preface this whole talk within that framework because I think it's a real slippery slope. And I've been doing a lot of soul-searching around that and recently read a book, if you haven't read, by Mike Udell on race unmasked. And what I learned in that, in 1920, the National Research Council funded money to look at black-white differences, and also immigrant groups were studied, too. Need I say more? Okay, so the background, we know that we live in a global world, and patterns of migration have changed dramatically in recent times with a rapid feminization of the global labor force. In fact, one of the presentations at the conference by Dr. Massey identifies that 20% of nursing assistants in long-term care for the elderly are foreign-born workers. We know that there's invisibilities among documented and undocumented foreign-born pregnant women that exist in the United States. And of particular concern are the foreign-born pregnant migrants that come and have their babies here in the United States. Are they at the same risk, lower risk, or higher risk than their comparative U.S.-born group? There's some emerging research that points to being foreign-born as a protective factor, but there's not, as I would say, enough, and why, if so. So my research is practice-based. The questions that drive my research are questions that evolve from practice, and you'll see the red circle is weekly I go to a prenatal clinic. The city of Philadelphia has eight community health centers in which it's a sanctuary city, which means that if you're illegally here and you come for healthcare services, you will not be reportable. And there's eight throughout the city. For pregnant women are usually can get Medicaid, but not if they're here illegally. And it turns out that the one I work at weekly sees the most foreign-born women in the city, and it also covers the largest geographic area. The map on the left here, the darker areas show the most impoverished areas. So you can see from the map on the right that the geographical area in which I work that is not one of the poorest areas of the city, but it is the largest. Okay, the theoretical framework that drives my research, I combine two theoretical frameworks. I combine Jennifer Colhane's model of chronic maternal stress that she uses for her program of research. Chronic and cumulative stress is a contributing factor to the observed increased rates of preterm birth within the socioeconomically disadvantaged populations. And I combine that with Melissa's transition theories. As people undergo different transitions in life, it makes them vulnerable. And for this population, they're undergoing two different transitions, the transitions of childbearing and the transition of migration. Okay, we know that where you live matters, and instead of showing a map, I show you some pictures. We know that women who live in neighborhoods where there's lots of violence are much more likely to give birth to babies that are born too early. And when I map the prevalence, the incidence rate of preterm birth in the city of Philadelphia, there are some neighborhoods where preterm birth is one out of every three births. Or born too early. So you can imagine, like, the normalization, not a big deal, but we know it is a big deal. Okay, so not only in the city of Philadelphia we know that where you live matters, but we also know that where you live globally around the world matters as well. And in this slide you can see that there's different rates for infant mortality with the trend over time for most areas of the world. The infant mortality rates have decreased. However, Africa, women living in Africa, their babies still have the highest rates of infant mortality. Okay, in this slide here, I just pulled data together from the CIA fact book with 2014 estimates of infant mortality rates. And I love data. I love to see what I try to understand what did the data tell me. And in this map here, in this slide here, you can see that the women that I care for at this city-funded clinic come from areas of the world with much higher infant mortality rates than our infant mortality rate in the USA. So you would think that they may be at a much higher risk for an adverse birth outcome compared to women born in the U.S. Okay, so in this study that I'm sharing with you, I apply a method of qualitative GIS, which is a sequential mixed methods design. The first phase of my study, I was quantitative, and I used GIS to answer the following questions. The first question, is there a large population of foreign-born black mothers having babies in Philadelphia? Are there geographic patterns where they live? Would I be able to find ethnic enclaves? And are there patterns with the good neighborhoods, the bad neighborhoods, and preterm birth rates for the foreign-born and the U.S.-born black mothers? And this study the first phase was actually published in Jargon. So the results for the first, it's hard to talk about phase two unless I present phase one. So phase one results, between 2003 and 2005, the 3 years, I could pull records from 1998. That was my original plan, but it turned out that the field on the birth certificate for country of birth in Pennsylvania wasn't added until 2003. So I could only pull 3 years worth of data. And in these 3 years, there were a total of about 60,000 births. About half of those births were to black mothers. And to the births of the black mothers, about 20%, one out of five of those black mothers during this time period were foreign born. That really surprised me. There has been some really good research from Jenny Colhane's cohort studies, and usually the number of foreign born women that she analyzes about 350 to 400 in some of her cohort studies. So essentially, there is a significant population of foreign-born black mothers, and overall, 10% of all the births to mother in Philadelphia during this time period were foreign-born black mothers. Thank you. Okay, so this maps are fun to look at. They tell you, I think they tell you a lot. Basically, this just shows you the neighborhood exposures to environmental stress based on poverty and violence, and you can just close your eyes to what the words say, but basically, they just layer. Poverty and violence layer over each other. So then I played around with some maps to look to see where the people lived, where was the black population living, and then to look even further, where was the foreign-born black population living. Philadelphia, just like major urban centers around the country, and a lot of the publications that you've probably read, is a racially segregated city. The map on the left is pretty clear, but as you start to look at where the foreign-born black population lives, you can see that they're not necessarily living in the predominantly black neighborhoods. And then when you look at the neighborhood where I tend to care for many pregnant women in the public-funded clinic, you can see that a lot of the foreign-born black women are not living in the most densely populated black neighborhoods. And when we did our some analysis with their, I think it was an ANOVA analysis, and we did see that there was significance that neighborhood living in a, we call it bad neighborhood, good neighborhood, living in a bad neighborhood seems to trump the protective effect of being foreign-born. Okay, and it's a very crude data, you know, it's just scratching the surface, but you have to begin somewhere. Okay, so the second phase of this study, after I played with my maps for a couple, and I wrote a couple of papers off of other data sets, I sort of was scratching my head, well, what does this mean? I mean, it's epidemiologists, we love data. I'm not an epidemiologist. I love to work with epidemiologists, but we love playing with data. I love playing with data, but I am a nurse at the end of the day. How can this translate into what knowledge do we need, and how do we promote optimal birth outcomes for everybody, especially what, you know, if there's any particular vulnerable groups? So I had partners in crime, and they were nice enough to meet with me biweekly for 6 months. What do we need to know about this population? So we had a task. We decided what do we need to know and how we're going to figure that out. So what we decided to do was that we would each write questions about what we need to know if we're taking care of this population, and write some information, 1 to 2 sentences, about why this question is important. And the team included clinical experts, a pediatric therapist, physician, nurses that work in the hospital, my midwife friend, and it also included, I was really lucky, that it included an urban medical anthropologist who continues to work with me, really has been a wonderful asset to even help me think and give me much insight into why we don't live in a perfect world. Anyway, so we analyzed the data using content analysis, and we came up with 3 key themes of what information we think is important to know if we're going to take care of this population to promote optimal maternal infant health. Okay, the first theme, the 3 themes, migration factors, access to care theme, and cultural awareness. Okay, within the theme of migration factors and health, the key questions were related to: how does a country of birth shape birth outcomes in the United States? What are the pre- and post-migration conditions, and how does that affect health and mothering and infant health? What are the specific and why are the specific protective factors or risk factors? And then the whole construct of acculturation. How does that happen? Is it protective with acculturation, or has it become toxic as this population or some of the women within this population acculturate to the United States? Questions related to access to maternal health care in the United States were related to what is it like navigating the U.S. health care if you're a migrant, especially undocumented, illegal migrant. Does invisibility preclude access to safety net services that are funded through the federal government, state, and local governments? And are there specific health care models that optimize maternal and infant health care for migrants? And then the last theme was cultural awareness and sensitivity. Do culturally informed histories guide the interactions and instruct personal health practices? What are the cultural beliefs and practices related to childbearing, infant care, parenting? And are there specific perceived barriers to healthcare use, like, for example, sickle cell disease? And then we proceeded and we did an extensive literature search, and we saw that there's published information about migrating black women. It mostly comes out of Europe. There's a group, Rome, that studies reproductive outcomes of migrant women, but very little is coming out of the United States. Basically, the women, farm-born black women, especially undocumented, are invisible in this country. And why? Country of birth is not routinely asked. It's not part of the medical record. Even though it's part of the birth certificate, it's just one field code, and we don't know much about it. And it's a very sensitive issue, especially nowadays. Don't ask, don't tell. Limitations of this research. There could be misclassification bias from the birth records, the country of birth, you know, it's checked off. There's a field code to name the country of birth. When I looked at the birth records, 60% of the 60% of the countries were identified as missing data, ZZ, if anyone's done this work. The mapping's just crude findings, it's just cartography, and then all the limitations you have for qualitative research with the content analysis. So we're still left with lots of research to identify whether women who come to this country and are black, if it's safe motherhood or unsafe motherhood. We know very, very little information, and in 2014, I don't think I'm going to frame my questions around this, because if you look at the big picture, maternal health in our nation is not looking good. I cannot believe that at this time, in 2014, I've been in the field taking care of pregnant women. My life's work is in research, teaching, and practices, promoting optimal maternal health for all women. And you can see from the graph that it's not looking good. I mean, maternal mortality is increasing since the early 90s. We make a big fuss with infant mortality. I'm not sure why we're not making a big fuss with maternal mortality. We're starting to hear some dialogue. If you're interested in collaborating, I'm a nurse. I'm not an epidemiologist. I have a lot of trust in my community. I know where to get the data. It took me about 10 years after my PhD to even figure out how to get birth records. And now when I call the city, I get records. So if you're concerned and passionate about this problem and want to collaborate with me, I'll work as hard as I can to get data, and we can work together, and we all know. So in conclusion, we need to focus on mothers. Mothers take care of babies, and, you know, it's simple. Most societies for centuries know that healthy mothers have healthy babies. Our healthy babies grow up to be healthy adults, and healthy adults become healthy communities. So thank you.